Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
Of souls for your kingdom, Father, in accordance with your will, desire, and plan, we ask this all in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. First thing I want to share with you out of that verse, wisdom is better than weapons of war, and I'll stop there. First thing tonight is wisdom is priceless. What does wisdom do? Wisdom protects. Wisdom guides. Wisdom encourages. Wisdom affirms truth. Listen, what I say about, we could literally sit here tonight and for the next hour, one by one, people could share things that you in your own lives have seen wisdom do. How many times has wisdom protected you? I know it's protected me a lot. The lack of adherence to wisdom at times has hurt me. And at those times, even as a lost person, I was working in Washington, D.C., restoring an early 1900s townhouse, literally stripped the whole entire thing out and redid it all period era early 1900s. No, it was 1913, I remember correctly, that house, same year the church was built originally. And that was back during the days that I had a relationship with Hops and Barley. I was a drinker. And I never drank before noon, so it came noon. It was time to go and get materials for the job. So I'd been working on the electrical, and I was redoing the whole entire panel, upgrading it to a current 200-amp service. And because of the way the bureaucracy is in Washington, D.C., I was not about to waste the time waiting for the 6 months for the Washington, D.C. power company to come out there and pull the meter. I had a firm philosophy in the country. You just, it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission. So I pulled the meter out, had almost all of the work done. So I go to lunch, I put the meter back in there, and I go to lunch. Well, during that time, you know, I began to warm up my afternoon as I would normally do there in the daytime. That became such a normal habit. I come back from lunch, having enjoyed a lot of the lunch time with, had the man that worked for me then, he was about almost 70 years old, and he had been doing that for decades. So we come back from lunch, and I have one wire that I have to pull about that far. So I open the front of that panel up, and I reach in there, and I grab a hold of them two leads coming off the street. And that song from the 70s, I don't remember what her name was that sang up, "You Light Up My Life." And that thing commenced to giving me an instruction on what not to do. And I will tell you, it was effective at doing what it did. And thank the Lord it didn't kill me. And it should have killed me. Amen? But wisdom would have prevented. Thankfully, God got a hold of me a number of years later, came to faith in Christ, ended up turning from the life that God had not wanted me in, that God had to redeem me from. And I'm very thankful for that. But I remember back at those years that foolishness and folly that defined my life, and yet now the total polar opposite universe you live in as a follower of Christ, waking up in the morning, not having to have a feeling that your stomach's uneasy and wondering, you know, what did you do? And that I don't have to worry about that. I'm thankful for that. But see, wisdom, when you come out of that and God gives you wisdom, you realize that the foolishness and the folly of the world, it seems so fun. It seems like, how in the world, I remember at a time in my life believing you could not have a good time unless you were drinking. And I'm so thankful that, you know what, I don't need anything. It doesn't take getting high to have a good time. All you've got to do is recognize the joy of the Lord is your strength and to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and wake up on a Saturday not having to waste half your morning being sick or foggy-headed or whatever it is. It's a blessing. But see, that's the thing that comes from the wisdom of God. It comes with the peace of God. It comes with all of these attributes that are part of this wisdom that is priceless. I'm so sad to say that there's many that don't even find this until sometimes they're my age and you know much older than that. Think about squandering 30, 40, 50, or 60 years of your life, or the man that worked for me. He died just a few years ago, having never come to the place of wisdom. And from what he told me when he was a young man, he used to go around the churches with his brothers and sisters, and they used to sing Christian music. Walked away from all of it, never came back to it. So it's just sad, because wisdom is not something that you just automatically believe, that just because you know about wisdom that you're going to end up walking in wisdom and walking in truth. You know, Scripture actually even speaks to that. It's better not to know the way of righteousness than to know the way of righteousness and turn your back on the sacred command that was passed down to you. It actually speaks a lot to that, and it's one of the reasons that compels me to realize that every morning when I get up, I have to get in God's Word. I have to get in His presence, because if I don't get in the presence of the Lord, the presence of mind that I end up in is not one that is one that's going to bring glory and honor to Christ. It is not one that's going to put me in the place of this wisdom that is priceless. It's the pearl of great price. You know, Jesus talked about that, right? The pearl of great price. What would you do if you find something that is priceless? You'd sell everything and go out and buy it, would you not? If anybody here tonight found out that there was a piece of property for sale in town and you knew on that piece of property was $1 billion, would you go, well, I'm not going to go get it? What's wrong with you? Are you drunk? Is something wrong with you? Are you under the influence of something? Because any normal person that finds something that would be quote-unquote priceless, would you do anything if you had the power and ability in your own self to go and get it? Well, see, salvation, the pearl of great price, is much greater, much more important than any earthly treasure that you could ever imagine. Amen? So what is hindering you tonight from seeking first the kingdom, singular, the kingdom, and His righteousness? What's stopping you tonight from seeking that wisdom, that level of it? And then the second part of that, verse 18. So wisdom's better than weapons of war. One sinner can destroy much good. Leads into the second thing I'm going to share with you tonight. Use your wisdom to discern. Now, when I say wisdom, I'm not even referencing worldly wisdom. No, I don't care if you're smart tonight and you're wise. That's not going to matter with what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about tonight is spiritual wisdom. It's the spiritual wisdom to discern the things of the Lord, and even at times, discerning things that are dangerous that you better stay away from. Spiritual discernment. Does anybody know what I'm talking about when I talk about discernment? Anybody know about character discernment? Let me just tell you something. My wife, many years ago, when I would say, Mama, something's not right, she is very, you know, very, very naive to these things of the world, and she'll, you know, wants to believe that people are really good. That's why she smiles all the time, and it's a wonderful place to live. Don't ever burst my wife's bubble, or I'm going to be furious at you, and I'm serious when I say that. She lives in a nice little bubble, and we want to leave her there. I don't share things that people share with me here because I don't want to ruin her bubble. I want her to just be able to have that smile and be happy because she's thankful that God's good and life's good. Amen? Don't burst the bubble. When I would say those things and she'd go, what are you talking about? And I'd say, Mom, I'm telling you, it's interesting because all these years later, those things she has seen play out when God would lay something on my heart like that and there'd be a spiritual discernment. Very, very important to recognize not only the spiritual discernment, but sometimes there's others that you may have, and I'm not even talking about someone who's gossiping about some garbage that they heard from someone else. I'm talking about genuine biblical discernment here. Not the countrified, oh, I got a bad feeling about this. A bad feeling versus discernment are two polar opposite universes, and discernment is a very, very important thing because discernment doesn't come from within yourself. Where does it come? The Holy Spirit of God. Therefore, it's only going to happen in someone who's yielded to the Lord, who is sensitive to the things of the Holy Spirit, and who God has given the gift of discernment to. So use the wisdom, the spiritual wisdom of discernment, if God has so blessed you with that. And maybe tonight you go, you know, I would like to have that. What is the reasoning for that? Do you have a biblical desire for discernment to protect your children, family, or some brothers and sisters? God, give me discernment and wisdom so that I might lead the people or whoever God has placed you over. You have showed in your statement there that you have a biblical, godly reason for desiring discernment. There's other people that'll say, man, I'd love to know that. I'd love to know what's going on. You know, that right there is nothing to do with godly discernment. That has to do with you wanting control or power or that feeling of being the one in the know. And that is as far away from godly and as far away from what God's desire, will, plan, and purpose would be. And it's one of those things that you have to, in many times, even look within yourself. What is your motivations for what you're desiring in life as a follower of Christ? What are you, Simon the Sorcerer? Right? Oh, this is wonderful. Let me have this gift, right? I want to be able to do this. Oh, wonder. No, it's not wonderful. It's terrible because Simon the Sorcerer was merely showing that he was a reprobate, not a regenerate believer. His, in a sense, the chameleon went from right in front of the brothers and sisters in Christ. He showed his true colors. But for a few days, what did it look like? Looked like he was as sold out. He was following the disciples. He was desiring to be a follower of Christ until the true motivation and intention of his heart was exposed. And then what did we hear? Let your money perish with you. Wasn't a pretty thing. It was a nasty thing because the intentions of the heart were completely outside of God's desire. He did not want to use wisdom for godly discernment and to further the kingdom, the singular kingdom of heaven, the singular kingdom that God has desired us to be a part of as followers of Christ. Simon the Sorcerer was revealing that he was as far away from that desire as anyone could, and there were really bad motivations for what he wanted to do. But again, wisdom's better than weapons of war, so we know that part. Matter of fact, you think about it, weapons of war. Wow, there's a lot of weapons of war now. There would have been a lot back then. Of course, not to the technology level that we have right now, but see, we a lot of times will see these weapons of war and think, wow, this is power. This is the ability to be strong. Wisdom is better than that. Why? Because that wisdom that's speaking to in this is wisdom of God, wisdom for God's purposes. Okay, so somebody walks in here tonight, and let's say we're under attack. Let's just say this happens, right? All of a sudden, somebody comes in here and has a whole entire crate full of weapons. And God says, okay, I'm going to give you an opportunity. Now, this is not going to happen, but let's just say it does. This cache of weapons right here, somebody says, right? God's standing there and says, hey, I'll give you this, or I'm going to give you spiritual wisdom and discernment right now on how to handle this. You want that gun, or you want that wisdom? I want the wisdom. Because I know what's behind that wisdom. It's the power of God that can do anything, that could blind every person that tried to come against us. Amen? Any stronghold that tried to bind up against us, those things are worth nothing in that realm. But that that's here in the power of the Lord, you think about the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. We're dealing with what? Spiritual. Our weapons are not carnal. Our weapons of our warfare is spiritual warfare. We're not fighting against flesh and blood, principalities, rulers, dark forces in the heavenly realms. The Christians forget that sometimes. And I also think they forget the power of the God that has allowed this incredible revival to break out in Kentucky at this college. As young boys and young girls and old boys and old girls and men and women are breaking spiritually in the presence of King Jesus, confessing sin in the presence of God the Father through Christ Jesus, and victory is emerging in major ways. People are repenting of sin. People are getting right spiritually. God is entrusting this work of the Spirit that is now flowing out in the bodies of Christ. There was one even in Tullahoma, some friends of ours, their church was doing, I think last night, I saw late last night on a thing that I saw that they, I mean, people are excited about this. They're praying that God would not only continue to work powerfully there, but it would flow out all over the country and globe for that matter. Why? Because that is where it's at. It's not here. You want to give me your pocketbook and tell you there's victory in your money? You've lost your mind. You literally are under control of something that you don't need to be under control of. If you think that God walks in tonight and says, listen, I'll give you this lottery ticket that's worth the biggest Powerball that'll ever be hit in the history of mankind. Or I'll give you the greatest outpouring of the Holy Spirit that has ever been known since Elijah and Elisha walked to earth. By the way, Elisha had a greater portion, didn't he? You better say yes. Remember, he says, if you see me taken up, God will grant that gift of what? A double portion. Read it. You'll see what I'm talking about. Because that jumped out this past year as I was reading through that again. And by the way, he didn't have no hair. Remember? Those youths jeered him. Go up, bald head, go up. They were mocking him. Why'd they call him bald? Well, he didn't have no hair. Go up, bald head. By the way, go up like Elijah did. And she-bears came out of there and killed 42 youths. Talk about the power of God. The power of God over protecting and over saying God cannot be mocked. Elisha wasn't God, but he represented the power of the Lord, the protection of the Lord, the anointing of the Lord. And see, that's the thing that as believers, it's almost as if we have this huge disconnect because, you know, that's that thing they do down there at those churches that either snake handle or, you know, the people that roll around on the floor. And, you know, that's a little out there for me, and I'm just kind of not with that. I don't know what you want. I don't care what the Holy Spirit of God could have me run down the road like now, because remember Elijah? Huh? Remember Elisha? Remember when they're running and God's doing all these amazing things? I bet they looked a little bit out there too, didn't they? See, that's the thing about it. We want to conform. We don't want anybody to think that maybe, you know, I don't want anybody to think that I'm out of line. I'll tell you what's out of line is the grieving of the Holy Spirit that happens all over bodies of Christ day in and day out. I don't care what you think. If I get a spell and the Holy Spirit falls on me, I'm liable to jump up and run over all the pews there, and I don't care what anybody thinks about it because I'm not here to make you like me. I'm here because God saved me and Jesus Christ died for me and I want to live for him, I want to honor him, and I want to serve him. And when I stand up here and sing, I'm not singing for you. I'm singing for him and I'm singing to him. That's what matters. That's why I say, y'all say, well, I don't have a good voice or this or that. You don't worry about your voice because it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. It doesn't say make a joyful noise to the other person. You're not singing to them. You get your girlfriend and write a song or a boyfriend and sing the song to them. That's fine. You're singing to them. You want it to sound decent. But when you're singing unto the Lord, you're singing in the voice that he gave you. And if he thought that voice didn't sound good, do you think he'd have said, make a joyful noise unto me? No. He said, hush. He wouldn't have said that to you if he didn't want you to make a joyful noise to him. So I want to encourage you to do something. Next Sunday when you start singing or Wednesday night, why don't you start singing to the Lord and not worry about what that person doesn't like the way you sound, they can move. Because if somebody ever says, you know, you might want to tone it down a little bit, ooh, I'm not singing to you anyways. Sorry about that. By the way, not. Because I'm singing unto the Lord and my spiritual wisdom of discernment says, it doesn't matter what you think because I'm offering a sacrifice of praise to my King. Now think about that then in relation to how we'll pray. Somebody says, well, I had a new believer just in the last year that said to me, well, I don't know how to pray. I said, I'm just going to tell you right now, one of the most incredible things I love to hear is a new Christian pray. Why is that? Because there's no pretense, there's no put on. They're not praying so people think they sound like someone who knows how to pray. I said, you're having a conversation with a God that loves you. Just share your heart. There's no textbook on prayer. All you've got to do is tell the God of creation that loves you, is passionate about you, and literally sent his son to die for you and wants to spend an eternity with you in his presence. All he wants to do is hear from you. I said, that easy enough? He said, well, it sounds like it. But it's the truth. Imagine if all of us allowed these things that hinder us because we're worried about what somebody else might think. Imagine if we started saying, I don't care what anybody thinks. Why did I sit at Grace Baptist Church in a place right there just like that. They took out chairs, and my wheelchair went right there. I'll tell you exactly why. Because I did not care about anybody behind me and what they thought about worship. I did not care. I didn't. And I'd tilt my little wheelchair up, and I'd focus on the cross during worship. Because I truly did not care about anybody behind me and what they thought about my worship. I didn't care. You know what that brought for me? It brought a great freedom. It brought a great freedom and unhinged me from any distractions, any of the worry that the enemy might try to say, you know, they're going to think you're weird. Well, that's wonderful. It ain't going to be the first time in my life. It won't be the last time in my life. But it allowed me a freedom of true worship. It allowed me to go into church and throw everything behind. You know what would happen at church when I'd be in the hallway and somebody would be in a conversation and somebody would say, oh yeah, by the way, start getting critical of someone or someone else. I backed my little wheelchair out and I would roll right on. I wouldn't even listen to it. I remember the first time I ever did it, I said that felt freeing and it felt refreshing because what I was saying and doing what I did was I will not be a part of what kept me out of the body of Christ for all those years. I'm not going to do it. That's why at Longview, you know, a lot of people say church politics is a big thing. Brothers and sisters, unless it's happening here that I don't know about, it really doesn't happen here. I don't care about church politics stuff. I don't like that. I don't like churches run by quote-unquote politics. This family runs the church or does this, that, and the other. No, this is the body of Christ. It's got to be run by King Jesus. That's what matters. People go, Brother Jonathan, I've never seen business meetings where people aren't fighting. What does the scripture say? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is peace. So when you use wisdom to discern, you recognize that when your prayer is what I pray continually, Lord, put a hedge of protection around this building, purge anything or anyone that would not desire to honor and glorify you. Well, I don't know why they left. I know why. God removed them. God removed a bitter root that would have what? Sprung up and defiled many. I've prayed that for 15 years now. God remove anyone, including myself. If I get out in left field and I am a bitter root that would divide and hurt or hinder the ability for you to move, remove me and get me in line with your desire, your will, your plan, and your purpose. Because I know that if that is not the all-consuming passion of the body of Christ, but most importantly us, then God can't bless it. Because God can't bless a mess. Use your wisdom, your spiritual wisdom, to discern. And then the final part this morning, or tonight, is guard the godly from the ways of the wicked. Guard the godly from the ways of the wicked. Guard the things of the Lord. Guard those that love the Lord from the intentions of the wicked. You hear somebody saying, I'll tell you what, man, I don't like this, I don't like them. We gotta get them out of here. I'm not even talking about me. I'm talking, you know, I don't like that. They need to get out of here. I don't like it. Wait a second. Guard the godly from the ways of the wicked. You get people in that try to start undermining. What does the Bible? Hey, bitter root defiles many. See to it that no bitter root takes root. Somebody wants to talk a bunch of old filth and trash. You know what you need to do? Excuse yourself from that. But maybe as you exit, say, hey, how is this going to honor and glorify Christ? I don't know where you're at in this, but this is not something that's going to build the kingdom. Are you wanting to be a kingdom builder, or are you wanting to be a sower of discord and bitterness? What does Matthew chapter 18 say? You got something you need to deal with, something, go to them. Do what Scripture says. Pray about it. Lay out the foundation for what you need to talk about. Get a biblical backing. Come talk to your pastor. Come talk to someone you have accountability with who you're not going to share the gossip about. You're needing some godly counsel and how to handle things. That's what you do. Why? Because it's God's Word. It's God's Word. What is your ultimate thing? To keep bitter roots from defiling many. You want to restore relationships and build the kingdom, not unwind, unravel and spray a poison, so to speak, on the kingdom, on kingdom building. It's so easy to destroy. The same way you hear me say, and I've said it time and time again, come in on a Sunday, you're so excited. You know, you started on the way to church, and you're just in the spirit, man. You're listening to some, you know, Michael Carter. You're listening to some Michael W. Smith. You're just on fire for the Lord. You're wound up, and then your spouse says something, and you're like, what's wrong with you? You might, most people don't know, many years ago, Emily and I used to ride together before we had all the people here. One day we realized it's better. By the way, she wasn't even a believer then. She thought she was a believer. But on Sunday morning, there was this incredible spirit that came over. And I was like, one day I went, no, Mama, I need to go earlier. So I did, started coming earlier. But I realized that the enemy was trying to divide, right? Trying to get my focus off by using her, because at this point she wasn't a follower of Christ. You know what? It was a wise move, because what did I do? I removed the ability for the enemy. She didn't think I just wanted to not run. It was, I did need to come earlier. Gave us time to pray in the mornings. And it kept, though, doing your eye cause you, pluck it out, right? Do whatever you've got to do to keep the body of Christ, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard your heart in Christ Jesus. How many people have told me that on Sunday mornings, they fight like dogs on the way to church? I can't tell you the number of people. Let me ask you a question. If you were able to drive two cars and prevent the enemy from allowing that to happen, is it worth it? To me, it is. You might say, well, I don't want to spend more $8 more. Really? So you want to allow this bitter root on Sunday mornings to come up that, by the way, when you leave, you don't even have those arguments anymore. Is it worth doing whatever needs to be done to keep from arguing? I can already see in faces right now, somebody's going to be driving separate next week. Praise God. Does it matter that much? Absolutely, it matters. Why? Because building the kingdom. Now, would you like to be able to say, we're going to make a covenant and a commitment not to argue? If you can do that, that's wonderful. What? Praise God. Put in earplugs. You can if you're driving, though, because it's against the law. I was a policeman. Amen? Yeah, you can't put your earphones on and listen to your stereo if it's broken. It's against the law. I know this. It's true. So you don't do it, right? But maybe the passenger needs to put the earphones on, and maybe they need to be listening to some good godly Christian music, and you listen to something else. What I'm saying is, if you're able to do that and continue to ride together and keep the spirit of oneness, but if you find yourselves falling into a trap, maybe there needs to be a temporary thing where you drive separately. What would people say? Who cares what people say? Because oneness in Christ can sometimes mean that you have to not split up in moving out of the house, but maybe drive separately so that you can come to church on Sunday mornings and be in one spirit. Because I promise you, every time I say that, someone either calls me, texts me, or catches me back there and goes, that happens to us every week. And I'll say, when are you going to let it stop happening? And it's like, you know, they get that deer in the headlights thing. Hadn't even thought about it. And by the way, have you ever had one of those where you went outside, got back in the car, and continued the argument? I've not had a person yet. Some of you guys are going to do it now. I've not had a person yet that said, I got back in the car, and we started fighting like dogs again. As a matter of fact, you know what they say? We got back in the car, didn't even remember what we were arguing about. Could not even remember what the conversation or the argument was about. It just shows you, brothers and sisters, it is from the kingdom of darkness. Trying to make sure when you walk and I walk through those doors right there, what? That we don't hear anything. He doesn't want us to come in here and allow God's word to penetrate our hearts, to convict us, to bring us to the place where in the first place we'd realize if we're the one that initiated that, my heart wasn't in the right place and I allowed the enemy to capitalize on something. What a fool I was in doing that. No, he wants us to sit in here and be so mad that we hear nothing, that we have nothing to give anybody because we were so bound up, wound up, and full of ourselves that we couldn't let God use us at that moment if we wanted to. And then, whatever reason, after we leave, we forget what it was. We're fine. Didn't hear anything. Didn't get to bless somebody with being in a Sunday school class and sharing something that God had done in your life that week. Because why? You were sideways about what she, he, or they said. Remember, when we shut these doors and we stop letting the enemy get victory in these little foolish things that have no consequential meaning, what do? We let wisdom give us that discernment to say, I'm not going to do this. If we need to stop riding for a month and then say, you know, I really would like to ride again. Let's give this a try. Does that mean there's something inherently wrong with you? No, we're human beings and we have different opinions on things, and the enemy's going to try to use those at times instead of allowing those things to bring us together and say, thank you. I'm just so glad God made us different. Because if he didn't, imagine how boring life would be. If everybody was the same, honestly, it would drive me up the wall. What's so neat is literally as Christians, we're e pluribus unum. It's on your money. I hope you know what that means. Out of many, we're one. Followers of Christ, there's people in here who have money, and there's people in here like us don't have two rusty nickels rubbed together. In Christ, we are one. One in what? One in the Spirit of God, salvation through Jesus Christ. What matters tonight, and that's what it is. Remember, guard the godly from the ways of the wicked. Men, your homes. You are the guardians. You're the rampart builder. You're the protector. You don't want to read. You don't want to have devotions in the morning. You don't want to read at night. You don't want to have your children read like we do at night. The children read. They change. You know, one reads one night, one reads the other. In the morning, I read the devotional, reading the answers in Genesis devotional. You don't want to have devotions with your family? Okay. Sorry, but you're not building ramparts. You've got to do it. It's important. It's imperative. Because you are the guardian spiritually of the home. God's commanded you doesn't have anything to do with male chauvinism. It has everything to do with what God has commanded you to do. You're to be the guardian. You're to be the protector. Why aren't you doing it? You want to wonder why? You've got an answer that I can't answer for you. See, wisdom's priceless. Wisdom calls, commands you. Same way the Great Commission commands us to go, ye therefore make disciples. And then teaching them everything I've commanded you is a commandment. It's not a suggestion. It's always say, I call it the great omission. Modern church history has committed the great omission. Well, we love to see baptisms and denominations and how many baptisms. I want to know how many people are being discipled. How many true disciple makers are then discipling others in one form or another? If you have the privilege of being a part of someone coming to Christ, or you're breathing and have time, who are you discipling now? Who are you calling? Who are you texting? Who are you spending any time with? Are you investing in anybody's life? Answer that yourself. I understand God has, like, stay-at-home moms are different in that respect. Their ministry was with their families and their homes. I do understand that. Guys, stay-at-home mom, she's ministering at home. What are you doing? Now you're a father, you're a family man. You don't have tons of time to go. I understand that. But what are you doing right now to impact the kingdom? What are you doing? I got a friend of mine who has 6 kids. He's a good friend. We can only meet rarely. We meet about twice, 3 times a year is all we can meet. But you know, he came and dropped a book off to me last night, a real neat book. He's actually from a pastor that was my pastor as a child that he's been listening to for years. It was funny because, oh, that was my pastor. He's like, are you serious? But this man has taken time to invest in me, and I've invested in him. He doesn't even go here. The kingdom is not strictly related to where you fellowship. The kingdom is universal. It's the body of Christ. It is all-encompassing and all-inclusive. Today in Africa, today in India, today in Iran, today in China, there were people who went to the fellowship and went to worship, and they worshiped with us, though not in one building. They are as a part of the kingdom as you and I are tonight. That's what's so awesome when you begin to really understand conceptually what the kingdom is. It's the kingdom universal. There is one God. There's one Savior. Amen? We are a pluribus unum. We're one in Christ. We're going to be in the presence of the Lord one day in eternity with those people that many of them we will have never met. Isn't that exciting? And we're going to know them better than we know each other right now. It's exciting because we are now investing in what? The kingdom. Instead of seeing, I know so many churches, pastors are scared to death to that somebody's going to talk to one of their people in their church. Oh, they're going to leave the church and I'm going to lose them. So that they get so bound up and isolated, they don't want anybody to do anything with another church because they're scared to death. What are you worried about? It's the same kingdom. If a person's willing to go and pew hop out of your church to go and run off to some other church, let them go. Because they're not that committed in the first place. Amen? Pray that God would grow your people, disciple them to maturity, and then they're going to help minister and disciple to others in other churches to see them grow and them to stay at their church. Why is Longview not have friends Sunday? Because sadly, I'll tell you why. Church people invite other church people to come to their church. You know why Friends Sunday was originated? To get the person that doesn't go to church to get them to come to church. Not to get somebody that God has planted in another body of Christ to come over to your church so they'll leave their church and come to yours. No. Church, it's about us reaching the lost, the unchurched. I know a family that's in this church now that came many, many years ago now, but this family was a family of four people, and they weren't going to church at all. They'd been years before, but they weren't going to church at all. That, to me, is the mission field, amen? We got the lost, but then others who, today, you probably know people that you don't even recognize were in church that haven't been going anymore. Those are the people that we want to reach. We want to use godly wisdom. We want to use godly discernment. We want to guard the godly from the ways of the wicked. And going out and sniping other church members is not a godly thing to me, church. Now, if someone says, I really feel like God's wanting to move, you know, hey, come and come and fellowship with us one Sunday. You know, and I'll be praying. You heard me say this. I don't want anybody to join our church unless God has divinely led them to join this body of Christ. That's what I want to see is what? Kingdom building based on the desire, the will, the plan, and the purpose of King Jesus, the God of all creation. That is what matters tonight. So tonight, as you think about better than weapons of war, what is? Wisdom is. How do you pray that God would give you wisdom? Well, just as basic as it is. God, I feel like I don't even recognize what Brother Jonathan's talking about tonight with godly wisdom, and I want to know godly wisdom. God, I don't want to be one of these people that's literally like an extremely ADHD 2-year-old child that has no spiritual discernment, no spiritual nothing. God, tonight, I want to know spiritually your wisdom. God, I want to be a man after your own heart. God, I want to delight in wisdom. I want to delight myself in you. And I want to know that what truth means is when I delight myself in you, it's not what my friends used to say, oh, God will give you anything you want then, the desire of your heart. No, God, bring me to the place where I recognize that when I delight myself in you, giving me the desire of my heart means you give me more of yourself. God, I want to grow in the nurture and the admonition of the Holy Spirit. Father, I want to have a prayer language. I want to have a prayer closet. I want to be a person that when I start praying, I pull out my flashlight because if I pray that God, the power goes out to awaken me spiritually, I want to literally take a flashlight in the closet with me because I know that you're going to answer. God, I want to be one of those people that prays with complete and utter faith that you answer. Not answer in accordance with my will, desire, and wants, but God, in line with your will, your desire, your wants, for your kingdom to be advanced. Where are you at in that tonight? Ask yourself that. Get honest with yourself, and as you lay there tonight, because all of us, I know, on Sunday nights, I lay there a little longer, probably 10 minutes before I go to sleep, instead of the normal 5 minutes. So as I go home, I begin, my mind reels through, and tomorrow I'll be here mentally processing what happened right now, tomorrow night. My mind's on a reel, so tonight I'm processing what happened last night. But I'll also be thinking about today and thinking about the things of the Lord and thinking about what God's doing, what he wants to do. Tonight, begin. Maybe yours processes faster. God, I don't know how I get from where Brother Jonathan was talking about, which, okay, what was he talking about? It's in line with the kingdom. It's in line with God's desire, his will, his purpose, and his plan. So when we pray according to his will, we know he answers. So if you're praying for spiritual wisdom so that you might be a stronger, more bold, more faithful witness for the Lord, we know he'll answer that, don't we? If you're wanting discernment so that you can know the latest gossip or have the insight into something, You can pretty much guarantee God's not going to answer that, because there's not a biblical, godly foundation with which that prayer is coming from. Pray tonight, God, I want to be able to discern the desires you have for my will, to protect the godly from the wicked. Father, I want to know, as a follower of Christ, that I am in line with your will, your desire, your wants. Father, I want to delight my... God, tonight I struggle with wanting to read your word, maybe. Tell God that. He already knows it. But you know what you do when you say it to him? You're getting honest with him. You're going, God, I know that you know this. And God, I'm humbling myself under your mighty hand. That's why Scripture said when you humble yourself under God's mighty hand, he will lift you up in due time. What's he going to do? He's going to pour out more of himself. He's going to humble you, but then he's ultimately, after he brings you down, just like the Marine Corps, what do they do? They strip you down so that they can build you up. Build you up with a proper perspective, a proper, and God will do the same thing. God will build you up in the things of him, and then you will be able to understand his perfect will, his pleasing, and he will begin to be the true passion of your heart. When you tell him, God, I don't know, I just don't even know what way to turn right now. You're getting honest with him. God will not only show you which way to turn, God will begin to direct your steps, because your desire is to honor him, to glorify him. It all starts when, though, you get honest with God on a night like tonight, on an average, ordinary night, just like they did at that college a little over a week ago. It's a normal night. If you watch that message that the guy preached, it was just a normal message. Everybody had left. Then all of a sudden, people started coming back in. If you watch the video, they just started coming back in. Was it because somebody said, hey, come on back? No. It was the Spirit of God. God discerned the intentions of people's hearts. The Spirit has been poured out, and it happens on nights just like tonight in singular lives when the Spirit of God begins to move. What are you going to do with tonight is what I leave up to you as you leave, and I close in prayer. You can walk out and not think two thoughts about what's happened here tonight, or you can say, God, everything you said was in line with the word. God, I want you to begin a work in me. And God, I know what the Scripture says. He who began a good work in you will perform it to the day of Christ Jesus. And Lord, tonight, I want you to begin a fresh work in me. Lord, I want you to till up my heart. God, I want you to show me where I'm out of line with you, your will, your plans, your desire, because I know you can't take me one more step until I die to myself. Scripture talks about dying daily. That's why when I talk about Joshua chapter 24, choose you this day. Because when you do that, you are dying to yourself, your wants, your will. And you're saying, God, I don't want my kingdom. I don't want my will. Father, I want yours. Let's pray. Father.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life. First, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin, today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.